Hey, what's up, people? We got some Stars news. New coach incoming from Vegas. I have a cold. Life happens. Hey. Me and my friend Kay Fitz, we're about to talk some Dallas Stars hockey. So please, enjoy the show.
Starting off with a bang. Yeah, we're both kind of under the weather, I guess, huh?
That's actually what I told everybody at the beginning here. I was like, hey, we got some Stars news. Me and K-Fitz are also miserable. Let's have fun.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I was feeling fine yesterday, and all of a sudden this morning when I woke up, both me and my wife were both kind of allergies. There's something in the air that's getting us both. So we're gonna push through it and get through this show.
Yes, sir. Maybe it's your lack of hockey. Maybe that's making you sick, huh?
I wouldn't go that far. I've been keeping myself full watching my Texans and their off season shenanigans right now.
Yeah, okay.
Speaking about football, I see that you guys might be getting Ezekiel back. Oh,
we're not going to entertain that. No.
If I were him, I wouldn't go back. I'll be honest with you. You guys threw me out like I was trash. Now, because your running back is all of a sudden in some hot water and suspended, and now you want to discuss bringing me back. I'd hold out and go somewhere else personally.
Hey, money's money, though.
That's true, I guess. I can't believe nobody's picked him up yet. I mean, he's not a bad running back. he may be a little over past his prime, but still, he'd still be, I think, a decent, goal.
I don't know if I believe in prime. And, to transition that to hockey, yeah. Joe Pavelski is a prime example of prime.
True.
Because
he's the Iron Man, though.
Yeah, exactly. So let me ask you this. What exactly is past your prime when dude's 38, 39 years old, still rocking the dang thing?
Look at Nolan Ryan. He was in his 40s. And he was still rocketing the ball over 90 miles an hour. There's guys right now that are in their 20s, and there's guys right now in their teens that can't even do that and have the control that he had.
Well, there you go. I mean, I'm going to have to ask you this. Does age really matter, or is it just the injuries and staying in shape?
I think it's the injuries and staying in shape, to be honest with you. I think that, especially with the league the way it is right now, don't take this wrong. Yes, it's still hard, but there's nothing like it used to be back in the day.
Right.
If you can stay healthy, it doesn't really matter what age you are. You can be a Wyatt Johnson and be barely old enough to do anything, or you could be a Joe Pavelski who's getting up there in age,
And yeah,
make a mark on your team and everything.
And see that while we're on it, that's got me thinking about what we've said about Jamie Benn and what other people have said. He's old, he's slow, he's injured, whatever. And That's exactly it. He's had his unfair, I'll say unfair, because I don't like seeing anybody get injured. He's had his unfair share of injuries. You know, he's had surgeries he's had to deal with. Same with Sagan. So, you know, I think his ability or their ability, if you're going to be injured, to come back from that and to play through it is what makes you.
Well, I read an article the other day, and it's basically saying that the pressure is on Jamie Benn this season because there are several independent bloggers out there that you know, I guess are big-time bloggers in the NHL world. There are several of them that are actually picking the Stars as a Stanley Cup finalist favorite coming into the next season.
I get it to an extent, but see, here's my argument to it. You're going to have to figure out how to not get ran over. And
well, we did add an assistant coach today, so that could help some.
Yeah, say that dude's name that I sent you. I dare you to say it because I can't. Misha something.
Misha. Yeah, I'm not good with those last names. Which is funny because I've got one of those last names, but yeah, now I understand how people feel when they look at my last name.
I've always known how to say your last name too. There's that.
Yeah, I mean, honest and truly, not a lot known about Coach Misha, and that's what I'm going to call him for right now, until we actually hear the pronunciation of his last name. But I know he's been with the Knights since 2019. As you said, it looks like he's good with coaching transitions, which is one of the things we can definitely use. And one of the things I said is, you know, sometimes when you bring in a coach from your rival team, they can give you some insight.
Yeah. You kind of got me thinking because I told you last season towards the end that I felt like one of the coaches might be on his way out, one of the assistant coaches.
Mm-hmm.
Can't remember who it is now, but I obviously can't find his name on the coaching list either. Instead, it's a guy named Coach Dimzik, we'll say. And, you know, it got me thinking with people mixing in and out, would it be real bad to have somebody or two people from people that kind of, for lack of a better way of putting it, handed your butt to you last season?
You know, yeah, I mean, honest and truly, I think it would. And I think it's, you know, I mean, what's the worst that can happen? I mean, he's an assistant coach. And he had to have been doing something right to be with the Knights for, you know, the last four seasons. And to be with them for their Stanley Cup run. I mean, he's got to be doing something right as a coach. So, yeah, I welcome it.
They get the bar, and now all of a sudden some people are coming over from his staff. Oh, boy.
Yeah. You know, I mean, and who knows? You know, I mean, I hate to say it. Part of the reason why the Knights have been doing so good, I would attest it to Coach DeBoer even after he was gone from there, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So. Yeah, yeah. It's kind of like going back to football, and I always bring up the Dallas Cowboys. It's kind of like, you know, when Jimmy Johnson left and Barry Switzer came in, I still don't consider that Barry Switzer's team because it still had Jimmy Johnson's fingerprint all over it.
Oh, so, for sure.
You know, so yeah, I mean, most definitely, you know, and so I think Coach DeBoer is doing everything that he's got to do. He's, you know, last season was his first season, which In all aspects, really was a very good season for a head coach's first season. I mean, he put us in positions to win. And he put us in a position to at least have a chance at going to the Cup. It just didn't work out. You know, we hit that brick wall called the Las Vegas Knights and the referees. I'm sorry. I mean, the Knights, the Golden Knights. Excuse me.
Oh man, your thought just then took me back all the way to the Calgary Stars series, and
yeah.
Oh, That one referee hurt my heart. You know, you knew he was from Alberta.
Mm-hmm.
And so you knew that was going to play a part in how that series ended. Because Calgary versus Edmonton ended up happening, and he was a referee in that very series. So So with that being said, the new coach possibly helping with transitions, do you think that helps with our defense?
You know, he may be able to evaluate defensemen and figure out, you know, in transitions, which defensemen go best with which line. So, yeah, I mean, I think it would help a lot in defense, especially, you know, if you can maintain the puck in your own ice during those transitions, which a lot of the times the Stars would lose the puck to the opposite side during transition. So if you could, if he can help even in the slightest way in that, I think it helps better this team.
I would have to agree with you because, you know, it seems like Mr. Nil and DeBauer and everybody's all right with the defense. And, you know, not that I know anything because I'm on the outside looking in.
Yeah.
I have questions about it myself with the last season and, you know, the mistakes that were made out of positions, what have you. It's got me wondering, like.
Well, it looks like they're going more for an offensive mindset as opposed to a defensive mindset. And it looks like they're, instead of, and I hate to say this, I know that there's people out there that, oh, we should be balanced and everything of that nature. However, if you do look at the teams that were, you know, the dominant teams of last season, a lot of them were more offensive, you know, minded teams as opposed to a balanced team. And possibly that's why Coach DeBoer and the staff is going in that direction instead of, you know, putting the money into to a Dumba who wound up going to Arizona. So, you know, there had to have been some reason why they decided not to pull the trigger on you know, a defenseman like Dumba. And it may be because they feel like, yeah, I think our defense is where we need to be. We just needed more offense to counteract that.
Well, see, okay, here's the thing, too. I put my management hat on and, you know, I plugged in things from the video game standpoint just because why not? And, you know, I analyzed real life stats and things like that as well. And see, here's the thing. Dallas has Esa Lindell. They have Miro Heiskanen. They have Ryan Suter. Who else? Who am I missing? What's that dude's name? Nils Lundqvist. There you go.
Yeah, Lundqvist.
And, you know, that's a very, very good decor if everybody can stay healthy. If you had Ryan Suter, that puts somebody in there as a scratch of a seventh D-man. And, you know, when it comes right down to it, all Dumba would be here in Dallas, I feel, is a trade piece.
Yeah, he would be a trade piece, and I think on the ice he would be more of an enforcer-type player as opposed to, you know, transition-type player, if you understand what I mean.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, you're right. I mean, he would probably be just a single season, something that they could use to trade for later on.
And see, here's the thing, too. If he's going to be used as an enforcer type, you know, Ryan Reeves type role, I know they're different positions, so back off, people. if he's going to be used as an enforcer role, you're only going to play him against a Vegas, a Minnesota, a Chicago, you know, you got to.
Yeah, he's definitely not going to get the ice time that he got in Minnesota.
No, he wouldn't. And, you know, if you want to put this little spin on it, that's dead cap space, really.
Yeah.
And so, in the grand scheme of things, you know, I've made a 180. Yeah, I was worried about defense. And you know, I feel like maybe you can elaborate on this because you've been in the athletic position, whereas I've only been in marching band. But, you know, you've got the people to do your thing, and then you got the guy that actually leads you to do your thing. If you get the right chemistry, it don't matter who's on that ice or that field. You know? Am I right on that?
Oh, no, you're 100% right. You know, in fact, if you look at teams in the past that have done miracle things, most of it is chemistry. You know, even if you look at the Chicago Bulls of the NBA when they were winning all those championships and Michael Jordan was there, you took one piece out, which was Michael Jordan, and they didn't win. They didn't do so well for two seasons, thank God, because my Rockets won the championship those two seasons. But so thank you there. But honest and truly, what made that team so well, so good, is the way that they gel together as a team. And when you take that one element out, it can cause the team not to work right. And then when you reinsert that element back in, you know, when Jordan came back, he wasn't doing it phenomenal. I mean, he wasn't knocking it out like he had been. However, they still continued to win because they had that team chemistry. So, you know, if you look at what the Stars are doing right now, if they can get, you know, a great first, second, third, or fourth line, and they gel well with, you know, the defensemen that they put in there, then, you know, yeah, you could go out there and you can definitely throw some offense in there and run some scoring up, which is, in this league, I hate to say it, kind of something that you kind of have to do, maybe not on a nightly basis, but certainly on, you know, every other game basis, you know, you've really got to, there. You know, think of how many games we saw this last season where, you know, it came down to like 7-6 is the final, or 8-7. I mean, it's a one goal game, but it's a high scoring one goal game.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Like, hockey isn't what it used to be at all.
No, it's number one. And like I said, I don't want to take anything away from the guy's state. It's just something that happens as sports evolve. You know, even the NFL right now. Even the NFL, NBA, all of those are not as hard-hitting as they were back in the day. I mean, you go back and you watch some of the old film, like from the 70s and the 80s NFL, and, I mean, there were guys out there trying to kill each other. Mm-hmm. It would not fly in today's – and nothing against it. I salute the leagues for saying, hey, you know, we got to take care of our athletes, and, yeah, we need to implement these rules. But that being said, as that has transitioned, you know, all these positions have had to change, not only for the offensive and defensive players as far as how fast they have to play and things of that nature, but also look at how much has changed in just the goaltenders, how the pads have changed over the years. You know, you go back and you look at the padding, you know, back in the 60s. I mean, they had – the goaltenders had some huge pads. I mean, you had to really kind of thread the needle to get it past some of those goaltenders. I mean, you look at some of them, and the damn goaltender in full pads is taking up dang near the whole net. You know, and if you look at them now, you know, and goaltenders back in those days were a lot shorter and a lot stockier. You know, they were bigger guys. They were like offensive linemen. You look at goaltenders these days, they're tall, so that they can see down the ice and see what's going on. They can see over those players, and they're slender. They're more athletic looking. You know, nothing against those guys back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. You know, they were athletic too for their size, just like any offensive lineman right now in the NFL. I mean, they're pure athletes. But it's just interesting to see how these positions have changed. You know, it's just amazing. I watched a documentary the other day, and the reason I was bringing this up is, you know, they had a conference. I think it was back in the early 90s. And, you know, it was interesting seeing some of those older goaltenders, and they were all sitting around with league officials, and they were all discussing about the padding and the size of the paddings and things of that nature and how they had changed. And, yeah, it's just, you know, it's crazy. So, yeah, as these sports are evolving, as these teams are evolving, you have to evolve with the league. And if you don't, And I hate to say it. I mean, I don't hate to say it, but honest and truly, I think Pete DeBoer is one of those coaches who has vision enough to see where the league is going and what pieces he needs to fit in there. We as fans, when we're watching the game, we don't understand, you know, and you got to understand what the coaches are doing is they're playing chess, where a lot of us fans are out here, we're playing checkers. We're just looking to get that jump, jump, jump thing, where Coach DeBoer is looking, okay, I need to sacrifice this pawn so that I can put my rook in the right position to, you know, be a checkmate or a check or something of that nature. So, you know, that's what you've really got to look at. And I think Coach DeBoer is doing a really good job, in my opinion. At first, yes, I was all on the defensive bandwagon. I was like, look, I hope this offseason we address our defense. But the more I'm looking at what he has done, the offensive players that he has brought in, and another factor that we all kind of forget about is we don't really know who they may bring up, who we actually have in the waiting wings, who may be defensemen, that may be pretty good defensemen that can fill a slot if somebody were to go down with injury, you know, and they're evaluating that on a daily basis as well. So there are a lot of factors that are going into this, but I think we're going in the right direction, and I think having a more offensive mindset, you know, is going to really help this team, especially keep away from some of those overtime games that I think we really need to avoid this season.
Oh, shoot. That's putting it mildly. I'll say that. That overtime thing was a killer, but I think did you know this?
What's that?
Ben Bishop is officially with the Stars as a player development guy.
No, I did not know that.
He is officially out of NHL contract, officially retired, done, right?
Huh?
Now, player development guy for the Dallas Stars. Ben Bishop.
That's a good player development guy right there.
He is, man. You got Jake Oettinger, you got Wedgwood, you got Ben Bishop. Wow. I mean, I loved Bishop. I loved him to death. I hated that he ended the way he did because I thought he had a bright future. And, you know, he's one of those guys you were talking about that is 6'7", all of 6'7", lanky guy, right? And I'm thinking for a guy like Jake being under Bishop's tutelage, oh my gosh.
As good as Jake is right now, you can't tell me that that won't make him even better.
Dude, that might be all the defense you need.
This is true.
Like, Jake's a good player. Go ahead.
Oettinger just seems to be getting better with each season. He did really good his first season. He did outstanding last season. And I'm excited to see him this season. I always get excited when Oettinger's in the net. He's one of those goaltenders, kind of like a Belfour to me. You know, I always got excited, you know, when Belfour was in the net. And I you know, we've had some really good goaltenders in Dallas, and I would put him up there with some of our better goaltenders right now. I'm just excited to see where this kid's career takes him.
Man, with Ben Bishop out there doing player development, maybe even, I wonder, with Bishop there in the wings, and Jeff Reese, I believe, is the goalie coach. Look, Ben Bishop is a former goalie. I don't know much about Jeff Reese. I apologize if I look stupid to anybody, but I don't. I know a lot about Ben Bishop because I've seen him play all the way back to his rookie days when he was with the Texas Tornado. Right here. The guy, I think, should be groomed from player development all the way to goalie coach. And I would love to see that happen.
Definitely. And, you know, not only does this benefit like a Jake Oettinger, but think of how much of a benefit this is going to be for a Matt Murray.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, he's doing good in his own right. And just imagine how much this could improve his game.
Dude, I'm already thinking of a goalie controversy personally.
Yeah.
I am. You got Wedgewood, you got Matt Murray. I don't think Ottinger is going to get knocked out of the starter position at
No,
all.
I think Ottinger's too competitive to get knocked out of that position right now. He's just, one of my favorite statistics is that he did very rare did he lose back-to-back games. And
It's almost.
I don't think he lost three in a row until that final playoff series against the Golden Knights.
It's almost like he got angrier every time he lost.
Exactly. And he learns from his losses.
Well, sometimes.
Oh,
Vegas has their.
put on him, you can only put so much on.
That's true. And the defense is going to make mistakes in front of him, and he'll be out of position just like the defense was that made the mistake, what have you. They win and lose as a team. It's no one person's fault. But
Keeping the puck out of your offensive zone is going to help a lot.
and that's what I'm wondering about that new coach. Is he going to help keep the puck out of your own zone? And the guys that we brought in, we're not going to have the answers to this until, what is it, September?
Yeah, unfortunately,
September.
we're kind of playing speculation right now.
Well, I mean, that's part of the fun of this podcast.
Of course.
But, Wedgewood, Matt Murray, maybe Remy Poirier, backup position. Ben Bishop out there, a Stanley Cup winner in his own right. Ooh.
You start bringing people in with winning attitude, tends to be infectious.
Dude, what if that's what the Stars are missing?
And it could be. This is an exciting time to be a Stars fan. Honest and truly, if you are a Stars fan and you are not excited, there has got to be something wrong with you. This is an exciting time. This team is already pretty good, and they could be working their way into greatness with just the right amount of players in the right position, coaching, the right coaching, and the right attitude. We could be on the cusp of something pretty special here.
Yeah, we could. Ah, a thought for you, something that really irks me to my very core. People harp about a team's window of opportunity opening and closing. Okay. The Cowboys here in Dallas are a perfect example. The Stars have been here lately. What do you feel about the Dallas Stars' window of opportunity to win the Stanley Cup within the next 3 to 5 years? Is it open? Is it shaky?
Honest and truly, I at the end of the season, I thought it was shit. I'm gonna be as honest as I could be. I thought, man, if we don't get it maybe this season, next season, we may be looking at some a dry spell. But with all the moves that they've made in this offseason, some of the players they have brought in, the way they have handled the cap space that they've handled, the way that they haven't, catered into a fan base that was screaming and hollering at them, why aren't you bringing somebody in for defense? What are you doing? The way they are sticking to their guns makes me feel like the window's open. And I'll go as far as to say, not only for the next 2 or 3 seasons, I'll go as far as to say for the next 5 or 6 seasons. I think the moves that they are making right now opens up so much.
Who do we lose? We lost Glendening. We lost Domi, obviously, but he wasn't really a core member of the team. He was acquired.
He was brought in late in the season. So, like I said, and I know I said this the last time, I don't think we lost anybody that was devastating. There was not one player to me that we lost that I was just like, my God, what are they doing?
Yeah. Now, had you done something to the top six, there might be an issue.
Yeah, I mean, if they all of a sudden, you know, good Lord, I'm gonna throw my Texans under the bus, but you know, it's kind of like when Coach O'Brien was our GM, and he, one of the first things he does as a GM, he gets rid of our best wide receiver. It's like, what are you doing? Are you kidding me? You do not get rid of one of your key players who is one of your keys to your any wins that you might have had. I still can't believe they got rid of Hopkins the way they did and didn't get anything for him. And then we lost Watt later on and we didn't get anything for him. Those are moves where I just, as a fan, I smack my head and I go, what are you doing? You are definitely not playing chess. You are playing checkers all day long. I don't think you could play chess. I think you look at a chessboard and you'd be confused. Why are they all shaped different? Aren't they supposed to be just round little things on the board? I mean, honestly, but the Dallas Stars have not made any moves where I, as a fan, looking at it, go, oh my God, what the world? Why would you do that? You know, yes, I wanted them to keep Max Domi. However, it just didn't happen. But we did keep Dodonov, so I'm happy with that. You know, I mean, if I had to choose between the two, I would have gone with Domi. But for whatever reason, you know, they saw fit that they wanted to keep Dodonov instead of Max Domi, and we'll see how this works out. But it's still not something where I'm going, oh my God, why would you do that? You know. Yes, it's a player that I like. Yes, it's a player I would have loved to have seen stay as a Dallas Star, but it's not something where I'm going, well, there it goes. Okay, I'm throwing my hat in the air and I'm just up, we're done. You know, no, absolutely not. They have made some really good moves in this offseason. And like I said, as a fan base, we should be very excited right now of where we're headed.
Yeah, you know. We lost connection there for a second, too. I was like, oh, boy. The only move that really bothered me, and that was just because I liked the young guy, was Gurianov. You know, Gurianov for Dodonov. I think Gurianov's in Nashville now?
Yeah, I believe you're right.
On a year deal? I don't know what's going to happen to him. I hope he finds success in Nashville. But, you know, for the Stars, you got Dodonov. Okay. You lost Domi. Domi wanted to go home. Okay. Now you have Sam Steele, a guy that everybody said just fell off the wagon. Mm-hmm. He was a highly touted prospect. Whatever. That's no reason to lose faith in him, you know. The right system, the right person, the right system, the right town, the right change of landscape, the right time can blow somebody up. You know, and that's what I hope for Dennis as well. But, you know, that's why I'm excited to see a Sam Steele or a Craig Smith or even a Matt Duchene, you know. For whatever reason, things just kind of fizzled out.
Yeah, and you know, sometimes just a change of venue or a change of scenery or a whole new, you know, team to be around with a different, you know, I hate to say it, and like I said, you know, winning and losing both can be infectious. You can have a losing attitude and it can infect the entire team. Truth be told, as great as Wayne Gretzky was, if he was not as positive as he was as a person and as a player, if he got into the wrong locker room and it was a negative locker room and they were just like, boy, we are just horrible, we're just not going to win, there's just something going on, he would not have had the spectacular career that he had. However, because he was a natural-born leader and he had a very positive attitude, in fact, you know, even in some of his most you go back and watch film on him, even when he's at some of his most adverse elements, he always had a smile on his face. You hardly ever saw Gretzky not smiling. And that's the kind of attitude that you have to have. And you need to infect your entire team with that attitude and that winning attitude and that we are going to win. By hook or by crook, we're going to figure out a way. We're going to win. And if that starts going through your locker room and everybody gets on board with that, then yeah, you know, I think Steele's going to turn some heads this season. I do. I think he's coming in. I think he's got a chip on his shoulder. I think he's coming into a locker room that has a lot of, you know, once again, you know, whenever you see those the cameras in the locker room and you know, they're talking about, you know, whether it be Robo getting the milestone of, you know, what, 40 goals in three seasons in a row, you know, or, you know, they're talking about whatever win. It's a positive locker room. You know, they're having fun. They're laughing. They're focusing on what needs to be done to win. So you put, you know, Steele in that kind of a locker room, and he could flourish.
Sam Steele, Wyatt Johnston on a line together.
I like that.
I like that a lot. I like that a lot. The youthfulness, the excitement to be out there on the ice. Johnston playing like a pro already.
I mean, could you imagine Steele, Johnston, and Ben on the line?
I'm drooling. Hi, how's it going?
I mean, that's a line right there that would get any player invigorated, you know?
That would be nuts. Like, oh, yes, please. Yes, please. Two of those players have already been written off by people. Mm-hmm. You can go look at my social media feed if you want proof. Sam Steele, oh, he was well-hyped and then just fell off. Where'd he go? No offense to the friend that said it, but maybe that's Wyatt Johnston fuel. Jamie Benn, Wyatt Johnston, Sam Steele. Ooh, that could be fun. That really could. Or Sagan, Steele. Ooh.
And you can never underestimate a true athlete. If Sam Steele is a true athlete, I mean, look at George Foreman. 45 years old, won the World Heavyweight Championship. Never been done. Oldest person in the history to win a boxing World Heavyweight Championship. And beat somebody 20 years his junior. Beat Michael Moore. 20 years his junior. So, and people were laughing at George Foreman. What are you thinking about going for the World Heavyweight Championship? You can't. You couldn't do this. Are you kidding me? You're too old. You're past your prime. People wrote him off. Boy, he surprised some people, didn't he?
Sure did.
So, you know, you can never write somebody off, whether it be for age, whether they just didn't meet the expectations. Maybe he didn't meet the expectations because of the element that he was in. The team just didn't have the chemistry, didn't match his play style. You know how many times that happens? Or how many times somebody will bring somebody in and instead of trying to match the team to that person's play style, they try to make that person's play style match the team and it just doesn't work out?
I'll do you one better. What about the position that the young guy might have played? Maybe he was playing out of position, out of his natural position. Look at what the Stars did to Jamie Benn, you know. Ben is a prime example because he's a natural left wing. He started off as a left wing, went to center, is now left wing again. You know, it could be a mix of anything.
It could. It
really could. And I don't know, man. Sam Steele, I'm looking at him. I don't see too much of a fall off personally because, I mean, he's only played since, what is it, 18-19? Yeah. 11 points, 22 points, 12 points, 20 points, 28 points. I see rising.
Yeah, he's on the upper swing.
Yeah. I see no reason to write him off when his point total is continuously rising. I didn't see any reason why I'm going to go back to it. I'm going to I didn't see any reason why they should have written off Denys Gurianov. I don't. Like, I don't write anybody off until they pull a Val Nichushkin, score absolutely no reason, and later come out and say, well, I did that because I was bored.
Yeah.
You know, I see potential in everybody. And Sam Steele, I don't care if he was the god amongst men and he just fell off the wagon or whatever. You know, things happen. Look at Vegas. Vegas had a team of, what did they call them, misfits, the very first year they existed. And lo and behold, a bunch of cast-offs. Here, you guys can have this guy while we protect that guy. A whole bunch of cast-offs made it to the Stanley Cup Final in their very first year as a team.
Yeah. Because they felt like they had something to prove.
That's exactly it. This is why I won't write off anybody. I don't care if you're a Tyler Seguin, Jamie Benn, injured, old, whatever.
Now, you know? Gurianov, one thing that you brought up is, and maybe this is why they let Gurianov go, is maybe they just didn't see him in the big picture. Maybe they wanted him to go where he could flourish.
Oh, possibly.
You know, maybe chemistry-wise, it's just not there. And, you know, they gave him time to see if it would gel and see if it would happen, and it didn't in their eyes. And, you know, you might be right. He may be one of those players that goes into a different program and he flourishes. And you know what? Why hold a player back just to keep a player when you can, you know, allow them to go forth and flourish elsewhere, and you can open up a position for someone that you feel like might come in and meet that chemistry that you're looking for?
Oh, for sure. You know, he's going to fit in somewhere.
You know, sometimes we as fans, yeah, we get our players that we like and we can see potential in those players. But if it's not gelling and we're not in that locker room and we're not on that ice during practices and things of that nature, you know, we're not there. So we don't know. But we don't know. So, you know, I don't think them getting rid of Gurianov was a knock against him. I don't think it was them saying, well, I think he's just washed up. I think it's just he's just not melding chemically. You know, he's just not meshing with this team the way that we thought he would. It's just not working out for him or for us. So we'll go ahead and let him go forth and see what he can do. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why that didn't devastate me. I didn't look at that and say, oh, my God, why would they do that? What are they doing? There's a reason why they did that. Now, if they would have gotten rid of a Robo or a Ben or a Johnston or a Roope Hintz or something like that, I would be like, what the hell are y'all doing? Are you smoking? Why are we doing that? What are you thinking? You guys, what? Because those are impact players. Those are players that impact the game and impact each individual game as well. You know, when Robo's in a slump, Hintz pulls in and pulls us up through that slump, and vice versa. You know, and you don't want to get rid of players that are impactful to the team like that. Whereas in Gurianov might eventually have done that. However, you're just not seeing it now, and it just doesn't feel like it's going to hit that level that you're wanting to hit at. So, you know, let him go, open up a slot for somebody else to come in, and let's see what we can do.
How ironic is it, though, that he's out, that he's one of those guys, right? Now he's in Nashville, and then you bring in a guy that's also well-hyped, that people say, oh, he fell off, just like Denys, because Denys had the game winner that sent us to the next round when we went to the Stanley Cup Finals. Y'all know the deal. I'm not gonna get on a soapbox here. But you traded a guy like that for a Sam Steele.
And maybe Steele's gonna fit the, you know, you're taking a round peg trying to fit it into a square hole, and you're taking that round peg and sending it off to some place where it can go into a round hole, and you're now bringing a square peg in that might fit that square hole.
I'd like to see him. I agree, by the way, and I'd like to see him slot in with either a Wyatt Johnston or a Ty Dellandrea. By the way, he scared me because I didn't think he was going to sign his offer. I was nervous about that, but man, Sam Steele and Dellandrea on the line together.
Yeah, Dellandrea, that's another one I would have hated to see him go. And I think that would have been kind of one of those, what the world?
Well, yeah, because he's so young and, you know, he hasn't been given chance after chance after chance yet. He's still dipping his toes in the water, unlike Gurianov, who was. We'll say that. Is the youthfulness and the, you know, he's still got something to prove. And, you know, I think maybe that could be your misfit line right there. If you're not going to put him with Johnston and Ben, you put Sam Steele with Dellandrea. God bless you, by the way.
I'm looking forward to seeing different lineups. I just want to see them play Frankenstein's Monster with some of these lines during the off season, just to see what we might be able to see.
Can you name your line three and line four off the top of your head? Who would be fun to watch on those two lines for you? Because I feel like the top two lines are already done and set. Who would you put on line three and four?
Oh, you would ask me something like that. I don't have my computer.
Heck yeah, I would.
You know, honestly, I don't know.
Foxa, Sam Steele, Dellandrea.
That would be an interesting one.
Foxa, Craig Foxa, Smith.
Foxa, you know, he's kind of been coming into his own towards the end of the season. You've heard his name mentioned a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Sam Steele with him. That would be interesting.
Where do you fit in the new guys? Craig Smith and Sam Steele. Like, this team is loaded. You got Maverick Bork coming up. You got, you know, all those guys. Logan Stankoven, even. That was a fun little...
I think you did like saying his name.
I do. It's kind of fun.
You know, honestly and truly, that's kind of one of the things I'm waiting to look forward to when they get back on the ice, just to see how Coach DeBoer does this. Is he going to just say, okay, my line one and two are already set, I'm going to leave it like that? Or is he going to say, well, you know, let's maybe move this person here and see how this works out. I definitely don't think that he's going to change the Robo Hintz line. I think that line's going to stay. But I think any other line other than that line right there is open, to be honest with you.
I want to see Ben and Sagan back together.
Ooh, that would be nice.
I don't know why I want to see them back together. Maybe it's just the fact that it's been long enough that I feel like they could rekindle something. But Ben, Sagan, how about Dellandrea? Ben, Sagan, Dellandrea. It's, yeah, you got one guy that's in his natural position in Jamie Benn. The other two are centers. But that adds to the fact that, well, somebody might get kicked out of the faceoff dot. You know, you've seen that several times.
Mm-hmm.
And two centers being on the wing and center position, Dellandrea, Ben Sagan, that could be a lot of fun. Ben Sagan, Steele could be a lot of fun.
I don't know how Steele is on the faceoff, but you were talking about Dellandrea, Ben, and would you just say my brain?
Ben Sagan, Dellandrea, Ben Sagan, Steele.
Yeah, Ben Sagan and Dellandrea. All three of those are good on the faceoff.
Where does that line fit in? Your second or third? Ah, Duchesne! You can't forget Duchesne.
Oh, shoot. I forgot all about Duchesne. Oh, my Lord.
That's
Yeah.
another center, dude.
This is, we do have a lot of centers, don't we?
Yeah. That used to irk me to my very core because you got guys playing out of position, but somebody's gonna get kicked out of the face-off dot. You've seen it time and time again.
Yeah. And we were really good on the face-offs last season. With what we've added, we may be almost unstoppable in the face-offs.
Let me ask you this too. Duchesne kind of feels like he was brought in to help on the power play.
Yeah, I
What
think we
is.
mentioned that when he was brought in and we were talking about him.
Does that make it automatically improved?
I would have to say, yeah, I think it does. Because power play is kind of one of the areas that we had kind of a weakness in. I mean, look how many times, how many power plays we'd have and come out of it with nothing. I mean, shoot, there was a few games where we had, back-to-back power plays where we'd have a major followed by a minor or even a minor followed by a major. So we've got over 6 minutes on the power play and come out with nothing.
Here's BS3 Network and fans, Stars fans alike. I'm about to make my friend here salivate. Are y'all ready? You got Rupe Hintz. You got Matt Duchesne and Jason Robertson all on a power play line.
Oh. Where would you even defend that line? How would you defend that line? I mean, really, I mean, seriously, who could you focus on? I mean, if you focused on any one of those players, it's going to open up the other one to score. And they can score. Oh, that's frightening. That's a frightening power play line right there. Holy smokes.
I have chills just thinking about it. All right, let's see what else we can. Let's toss out Duchesne. Let's go Ben. Let's go Johnston.
Well, we already know you got the creativeness of Johnston with the experience of Ben and the goal scoring of Duchesne. Man. I mean, let's say you covered Johnston because of his creativity, and all of a sudden he passes to a Ben or Duchesne. I mean, you just screwed yourself because now I mean, and Johnston's so creative, he can work those angles and make it look like he's fixing to do something and then pass it off to somebody else. Bang.
And here's another one for you, because I know I've sent you the video of this guy from the, I think he sniped from the blue line, from what I remember.
Oh, I know
Douche.
exactly what people are talking about. Go ahead.
Now go ahead. I want to see if you know.
No, go
I'll
ahead.
give
Go ahead.
you, okay, I'll give you the other two. You can tell me who the missing player is that made the snipe, okay? Duchesne, Robertson, and
Was it steel?
yes, sir.
And steel does have that quickness to him where he can snipe pretty well. That video you sent me was oof.
I mean, he yoinked that thing. He was just like, you know, there it goes. Whoa.
What I say as a fan base, if you're a Stars fan, you should be excited because there are so many, I hate to say it, but it's kind of like I envision Coach DeBoer sitting there talking to everybody and everybody around him, and he's got the board and he's drawing it up on the board like in the movie Miracle. And he's doing this, doing this, doing this, and he's like, what does that open up? And everybody's like, options. And I just feel like we've got so many open options right now that it's, man, it's exciting.
Oh, are you ready for this? I agree with you, but Sam Steele, Tyler Seguin, Matt Duchene. Y'all want to harp on Tyler Seguin for not doing enough?
Put him in there with a power play line like that, he might wind up doing a lot more than what you're asking.
You might see 19-year-old Tyler Seguin come out again. Woof. Oh. Duchene, Seguin, Steele, Duchene, Seguin, Johnston, even. Oh my. Duchene, Seguin, Robertson. Duchene, Seguin, Hintz.
Once again, like I said, what does this open up for us guys? Options. I mean, and the thing about it is, you've got, I'll call him Dr. Frankenstein right now because he's really good at putting these lines together, and that's Coach DeBoer. I mean, he is our Dr. Frankenstein right now. And he has enough pieces to put together Frankenstein's monster. It'd be very scary for defenses. Especially, could you imagine oh, Lord, any one of those lineups that you just mentioned, could you imagine going down two men to that and being 5-on-3? Well,
Yeah.
I think you would just say, hey, pull the goaltender, let him score, and let's just get this over with.
I'm sorry if I blasted y'all's ears with my laugh, but yeah, that got me.
You know, I mean, wow. That's just scary.
Oh. Sagan, Duchene, and Robo has my attention. It has my curiosity going absolutely nuts. Ooh. Oh my, dude.
This is going to be a very interesting season, and I don't think it's going to be the same season as last season. I'm going to go ahead and go out on a limb. I don't think we're going to see as many overtimes, and I think the overtimes that we do see, I think we've got a much better opportunity of winning those overtimes. And I think we're going to be a little bit higher scoring this season than we were last season.
Instead of 10-6, you'll see 11-2.
Yeah.
That, oh my, I would lose it. You would, yeah, you would be able to hear me screaming from all the way down there.
The games that are fun are the games when it's like you can't even keep up with when you're chatting with somebody or talking to somebody on, oh, okay, oh, Robo goal, oh, Johnston goal, oh, shoot, oh, the Landry goal. Oh, you can't keep up with it. Those are the fun games, and then especially when they get to the third period, and you see your opponent pull their goaltender. I love that. That's my favorite part. I love seeing the opposing team pull their goaltender. I hate it when we have to do it, but I love it when the opposing team has to do it.
Dude, and all it takes is one or two players.
Yep.
That is nutty. And you know, the last, I think it was the last show that you and I did together, I was skeptical. I really was. I was like, are we going to be okay? Or is it just going to be another season of, ah, crap, here we go?
I think we're okay.
To steal a phrase from the GM of the year. I like where this team's at.
Yeah.
And that's a move that he used to say when he couldn't come up with a trade or he didn't really want to. I at least from my point of view. But for once, maybe we should enjoy where this team is at because you don't even know where Stankoven and the other dude, I forgot his name already, are gonna fit in. Maverick Pork, there we go.
Yeah, there you go, Maverick.
You got Duchene and Smith and Sam Steele waiting in the wings, and you got those two youngsters wanting to come up. Man, September.
We have so much talent on this team. It's unbelievable.
Are they the new Misfits like Vegas was, though?
They might be. You know, the one thing I like about it is we have a lot of talent on this team, but it's not that marquee big name. Everybody thinks that that's who needs to be focused on talent. You know, it's each one is bringing their own individual attitude, talent to this team. And I think this is going to be fun.
My gosh, the offense of this team is going to be bonkers. It's going to be mad.
But, you know, I said at the very beginning of this, I think that's where Coach DeBoer is going. He's going more of an offensive mindset. I think he thinks that, you know, the best defense is an awesome. Instead of, you know, the whole the best offense is a great defense, I think he's going with the mindset of the best defense is an amazing offense. And if we can come out of the chutes firing and score quick, score fast, score a lot on teams, you know, I hate to say it, but you know what? You score in the first couple minutes of a game, it throws the opposing team off. I don't care who you are. I don't care who you are. You can't tell me. And a goaltender, it really can mess with their psyche. Look, I mean, we've watched Ottinger do great in one game, and then all of a sudden he gets scored on early in the next game, and all of a sudden they're down 6-0, and you're pulling Ottinger and putting Wedgwood in, and you're going, what the hell just happened? Where'd our goalie go? Because even the best goalies, it can get in their head.
Yeah. Even the hottest. Look at Aiden Hill.
Mm-hmm.
Vegas. How much did – you know the deal. What was it, 7-3, one of those games too?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
My gosh. Like, the first 2 minutes seems like it can make or break a goalie's confidence. A lot of times, not all the time.
Not all the time, but a lot of the time. So, if we can figure out that formula to get a great offense, you know, a good, you know, our first couple lines out there to hammer, you know, a goal or two in that first few minutes, let's just say in that first 5 minutes, you could score two goals. I think that. And then it puts the pressure on them. And it makes it to where the pressure's not so much on you, the pressure's on them, and it makes it a little bit easier to keep it out of your offensive zone and keep it in theirs.
Yeah. And if you want to make it even easier, just throw a line of Ben Sagan and freaking Duchesne out there. Hey!
Yeah.
Whoa! What is going on with this team?
I can't.
Go ahead.
I said I can't wait.
Dude, I can't wait either. And here we are in the beginning of August. Like, you heard it in my voice every time we've done a show. I was scared. I was kind of heartbroken. Yeah. But Duchesne, Sam Steele, and Craig Smith, everybody out of all those names have been written off, and whoa, what? Dude.
Time will definitely tell, and we'll be keeping track of it.
Oh, man. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that whatever shows you and I do together in September, all the way through the rest of the hockey season, by the way, might as well consider this the season finale. We'll start season two, close to the season finale. We'll start season two of this podcast right around preseason, just to let you know in advance. It's just, whoa. I don't even know where I was going with that. I lost my train of thought because I'm, wow. What?
A lot to think about.
It is. Season two of this podcast, there it is. It's going to be a lot of fun. Oh, my gosh. Let me ask you this, because I know you got to go probably, but I'm kind of fiending for an answer. The turnover thing was a big issue for the Stars.
The puck control and turnover was huge, and I think that this new coach that we just brought in is going to help with that.
What about Duchesne Smith and Steele?
I think that's going to help a lot with that as well.
Oh my gosh. Are we actually going to have control of the time with the puck, whatever that's called? Time of possession? There we go.
Time of possession, yeah. And that was one of the killers for the Stars this last season was the time of possession.
Oh my gosh. What if that's it? What if that's all they were missing? Woo!
We're looking at a Stanley Cup this season.
Oh boy.
I don't know which bloggers it was. Like I said, I read it was an article that I just perused over, and there the pressure is going to be on, you know, Jamie Benn as a captain this season because, you know, there are several, and I'm not talking about Texas area bloggers. I'm talking about just people that blog about the NHL and pay attention to what's going on. There are several that are picking the Stars as the favorite, which is odd considering that, you know, the past seasons, even when they've made it, they weren't picked as one of the favorites. So the pressure is definitely on them this season.
No. Duchesne, Steele, and Smith taking that pressure right off, Mr. Ben.
There you go.
I can smell it in the air. That or somebody farted. I had to throw that in there. Man, okay. So
I guess we're going to leave it on that note, and we will pick this up next time.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, man. I don't know about you, but I do want to thank you for your time and, you know, your ability to keep this going for me. You know, we feed off of each other very, very well. And
always a pleasure.
Dude, I love it. Thank you so much. You know I love you too, and thanks for coming.
Yes, sir. Go Stars.
Go Stars. And that's it for us, BS3 Network. Thank you for your time, and we'll catch you next time. Dallas Stars! Dallas Stars! Dallas Stars! Dallas Stars! We'll be right back.